Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's question and answer. Tonight, we're going to take a look at the Bible with any questions or comments that anyone may have. And each person is invited to share whatever may be on your mind by raising your hand. If you're on Pal Talk and entering your question into the text, as soon as one of the admins there, I request you to do so. Now, if you're listening by Skype or by phone, you can, and you're in the conference room, you can just press *6 and then 1. *6 to ask a question or make a comment, and then the number 1. And that'll raise your hand and queue up your question so that you'll be in line ready to go. Okay. At this point, we're going to open up the room. And again, everyone is welcome and encouraged to share what's ever on your mind. Let's go to the first call tonight, please. Welcome to our question and answer.
Good evening, brother. Since some people are missed because of technical difficulties this morning, your dissertation, could you please explain the counting of the 194 days, what days were inclusive and what days were exclusive, where it began, where it ended, etc., please?
Yeah. When we look at the 5 months period, the Revelation chapter 9 refers to the 5 months of torment. We find we're given direction from Genesis 7 and Genesis 8 where upon which date and which calendar to use. And May 21 was the 17th day of the second month of the Hebrew calendar. And as a result of that, we should just continue to follow the Hebrew calendar and not switch like we did to our Gregorian calendar to place the 5 months period. And in other words, what we did was we saw May 21 was 217 on the underlying Hebrew calendar, but then based on some assumptions about the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, we switched over to the Gregorian calendar to go 5 months later of our calendar from May 21 to October 21, where if we were to follow what God, the directions God gave us in Genesis, once the door was shut on the 17th day of the second month, 5 months later was the 17th day of the seventh month. And so following that guideline, it takes us to the 17th day of the seventh month, the Hebrew month. We continue to stay with the Hebrew calendar, and that would be 6 days earlier than October 21. Or we know there was 153 days from May 21 through October 21. And October 21 in the Hebrew calendar was the 23rd day of the seventh month. Well, we want to go 6 days prior to that to 717 of the Hebrew calendar, and that would be October 15th. And that is actually more biblical than what we were doing, and we're following the two dates given in Genesis 7 and Genesis 8. The start date of the 5 month period, and then the date 5 months later, and we're continuing to follow that in the Hebrew calendar. So there is our first 5 month period. And I say first, and that 5 month period works out to 147 days, and it's the first because we read in Revelation chapter 18, as God is speaking of Babylon at the time of its fall, and that identifies with the end of the Great Tribulation. He says in Revelation 18, verse 6, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. And here God is really telling us what the punishment will be, the cup of wrath that he has measured out for Babylon, which is the kingdom of Satan in this world, will be doubled. And we were correct in thinking 5 months, but we didn't realize God intended to double it. So after 5 months from 717 of the Hebrew calendar, we once again go from the date 717, and we just simply double what the first space of time, 147 days, we double it, and we come to Adar 15, or the last day of the Feast of Purim, excuse me, which will be March 9th, March 9th of our calendar. And that is the double judgment, the double torment that God is giving the world at this time.
717 is inclusive in both counts?
No. Now, we know the first count from May 21 to October 21, we know that was 153 days, not inclusive, and you just simply minus 6, because we're going from October 21 to October 15th, or in Hebrew, from 723, Tishri 23, to Tishri 17, 6 days earlier. Now, we are using Tishri 17 is the starting point for it's the last day of the first 5 months and the starting point of the doubled 5 months. That's the date God gave us in Genesis, and that's the date we stick with. And then we have an additional 147 days, and the number 147 breaks down to 3 times 7 times 7. And we have that twice. The first 5 months, 3 times 7 times 7. And then the next 5 months were 147 days, 3 times 7 times 7.
Thank you, Brother McCann.
Okay, thank you for that question. And let's go to the next person. Welcome to eBibles Question and Answer.
Hi, Chris. Could you please look at Esther 7, verse 6 and 7?
Esther chapter 7, verses 6 and 7, it says in verse 6, and Esther said, the adversary and the enemy, an enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make requests for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king.
My question is, as Haman is a picture of Satan, and Esther is a picture of the believer, and we're looking at this as historically relevant to what just happened, do you have any understanding of Haman making request for his life to Esther the queen, as in Satan making requests for his life in what we just experienced recently? Do you understand my question? I don't know if I'm being very clear.
Yes, I do, and I haven't actually thought about that. So I can't answer right now. I appreciate your question.
And I guess the question was also about, you know, Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. I was also wondering, obviously, how it all.
Well, we can see that this second banquet is it's a banquet of wine, and so it's picturing the wine, God pouring out the wine of his wrath, like we read in Revelation 14. And so we're not surprised to see King Ahasuerus rising from the banquet in his wrath. And he does pour out his fury on Haman until he's hanged. And then verse 10 tells us, then was the king's wrath pacified. So we can see God's anger upon Satan, as this is particularly looking at his judgment, but God's angry with the wicked and all the unsaved, and that's why it's Judgment Day. But in this case, particularly on Satan, I just haven't thought about him, Haman, pleading with Esther before. So I appreciate it. And I'll try to take a look at that.
Thank you. And just with that same verse, where the king goes into the palace garden and then comes back from the garden, any thoughts about that?
No, not at this time. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you for raising those verses. And let's go to the next person. Welcome to eBibles Question and Answer.
Hi, Chris. Somebody this afternoon asked about the number of days between when Haman was hung and Purim. And I'm assuming that's 391 B.C. If you plug that into the Bible calculator, it comes out to, if I remember correctly now, I think it was 301 days. Just you know. Your information.
Well, I don't know. It is interesting that we have about a 10-month period from the time that Haman is hung on the 17th day of the second month until Adar 15 comes. Well, Adar 13, 14, and 15. It's almost a full 10 months, And that's exactly what we're looking at for the length of time for this judgment. So I hope to get a chance to check a spreadsheet that Michael Cook prepared listing the number of days for the year 391 and seeing exactly how many days there are and seeing how it lines up. All right. Thank you. And let's go to the next person. Welcome to eBibles Question and Answer.
Our first question from Pal Talk tonight comes from Robert E. His question is, I do know that the purpose of spreading the message of Purim is to relieve the elect with this message and not unto salvation for the non-elect. How are we to properly bring up the possibility that March 7th through the 9th is the end of the world, and to whom, be it friends, relatives, people that we come in contact with and every day?
Well, the problem is that we don't know who are the elect and, for instance, who God might have saved prior to Judgment Day, and so now we can pray for wisdom, and there are ways of doing things, and I think that I don't know. I don't want to say, well, this is what we should do. I think God will work it out. I know that people have been doing various things, and some people have been starting websites, blogs, and putting information there. Some people are talking about this on Facebook and other groups. I know one person today went out with a couple of hundred flyers with the article May 21 and the link to Purim, and handed them out as though they were tracts. And he actually, as far as I know, he's the first person who has handed out information like this for some time. I haven't heard of anyone else do it. And he said it went very well, and that people received it very well. So also we're hoping to put up a handful of billboards, and we're calling it Project Gideon because we have very little resources, and we're hoping that God will make it appear that there's many more billboards than there are. But, you know, I just think we pray for wisdom, and we do what we can do, and share as we can share, and God will direct us in what to do. Are there any other questions from Pal Talk?
Yes, the next one's from Chris L40. The phrase "he stayed" in Genesis chapter 8, verses 10 to 12, in the Hebrew, I have found to mean to wait longingly, or with anguish or travail. Do you see any meaning to this in connection with our time?
Let's read in Genesis 8:10, and he stayed yet other 7 days. And again, he sent forth the dove out of the ark, and the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. I haven't looked at that word "stayed." I mean, from the account, it just seems to indicate that he waited a period of time before sending the dove out again. But, you know, of course, there's a spiritual meaning, and I'm not sure what it is. And also, I haven't looked up that word, so I really can't comment on these verses. But thank you for your question. And let's go to the next person. Welcome to eBible Question and Answer.
Chris, I have another question. A couple of weeks ago, you mentioned that about how the Feast of Ingathering was likely fulfilled during the latter rain and possibly the Feast of Tabernacles along with that. Are you still holding that, or do you think that it may have some fulfillment on October 15th?
Well, I think that ingathering was spiritually fulfilled during the 17 years of the latter rain, because that was the period of ingathering. And then I think there was some sort of presentation of the fruit, because God tells us regarding the Feast of Ingathering, which was held along with Tabernacles, that the Jews were not to appear before him empty. That is, they should have harvested their crops in order to have something to offer. And I think that it's significant that the 5 months, the Tishri 17, falls on a day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And so I think that would connect the Feast of Tabernacles to the end. And normally it would have been the end of the world, except God doubled it. And then that brought it to the Feast of Purim. You know, this is a very significant connection, because we already have the connection with Purim of May 21 as the day when Haman was killed and so forth. And now we're finding that this information of the doubling of torment, I mean, just think of all the possible dates it could have fallen on, and yet God works it out so that it falls on the last day of the Feast of Purim, and the starting point again is May 21. So this connects May 21 with 5 months later, and then Purim, and it ties in the loose ends we were having about the 5 months. So it's pretty significant that we can see how God has done this now and made this connection.
Yeah, amen. Thank you.
Okay, all right, thank you. And let's go to the next person. Welcome to eBibles Question and Answer.
Brother McCann, can you explain the parable in 2 Kings 6, 1 through 9, please?
2 Kings 6. Let's read verse 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. And let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Now, where it says he cut down a stick, that's the same word as tree. So this was probably like a log that he threw into the water. And normally an axe head, which is very weighty and heavy, would sink. And let's see, it fell into the water, and we can be sure it did sink. But then when he cast in a stick or this tree, the iron did swim. So this heavy weight, the axe head, floated to the surface so that they could retrieve it. And, you know, the Bible speaks of man's sins as being cast into the depths of the sea. And I think this has some relationship to that. I haven't looked at this for a while, but the tree or the stick would be pointing to probably the cross, and when it is cast in, this causes the iron to swim. But I'm sorry, I can't remember it too well. But thank you for bringing up these verses, and let's see if we have another question from Pal Talks. Let's go to Michael to get the next question.
Next question comes from Fire Jacinth Brimstone 11. It seems that the biblical number is 150 days, not 147 days, if we're counting from the 17th day of the second month till the 17th day of the seventh month. Could you elaborate on this, please?
Well, sure. Yeah. Now, that is the number of days given in the Genesis account, 150. But, you know, we have to work with the Hebrew calendar because that's the calendar that God associated with the landing point for the 7,000 years. Now, in Genesis, the calendar was based on Noah's lifespan. It could have been the Hebrew calendar. I know a friend who thinks it's possible for the Hebrew calendar to have that number of space of days, even though it's very difficult for that to happen. Or it could have been a different calendar that was used in the life of Noah. But we would never know what Noah's calendar is. All we know is the equivalent date is the underlying Hebrew. God definitely signaled that out and put his finger on it when the end of the Great Tribulation landed on that day of May 21, the 17th day of the second month. And also it was 722,500 days from the cross, that infallible proof, which pointed right to that particular day. Now, since that's the day on the Hebrew calendar, we have to work with the Hebrew calendar for that year. And even there can be some fluctuation because it's a lunar calendar. It follows the moon cycles. And yet in the year 2011, the 17th day of Tishri, 5 months later in the Hebrew calendar, is October 15th. And it counts out to 147 days, not 150. If we count 150 days, well, then we would be on October 18th. And that would be Tishri 20. And there's nothing in the Bible that tells us to go to Tishri 20. That was, I think, our mistake in going to Tishri 23 or October 21. But October 21, at least we were under the assumption that would be the last day of the end of the world. But in this case, we're making a correction where we're following the biblical language more so than we were before. We know that May 21 was the 17th day of the second Hebrew month. 5 months later, let's read this in Genesis 8. In Genesis 8, God does mention 150 days, but he gives us the date in verse 4. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. And we can see that's 5 months later. And in that particular year of Noah, it was 150 days. But in our year of 2011, it was 147 days, and we can't do anything about that. We can't make it 150 so that it could still be the 17th day of Tishri. We have to go with 147. And then, since that's the number of days God gave us for the span of 5 months, when we double that, we find it lands on the last day of the Feast of Purim. And again, it is because God has given double torment, as he states in Revelation 18, verses 6 and 7. But thank you for that question. Let's go to the next person on the phone line. Welcome to eBibles Question and Answer.
Good evening. Along the same lines, is it necessarily so that verse 3 chronologically happened before verse 4. I can read it that the ark rested on the 147th, and then after 150, the waters were abated. So there would be no problem in the 147th, different from the 150. It just happened a few days before.
I don't think so. I think that it, it's telling us that 5 months period, and then God gives us the date, the span on the calendar that year was 217 through 717. That was 150 days. We're at this point following the biblical language. It's all we can do when we go from the 17th day of the second month, May 21, through the 17th day of the seventh month, October 15th. We've made a correction, but it still does not come up 150 days, and there's no possible way we can have both. We cannot have Tishri 17 and 150 days. And so since God already is using the Hebrew calendar date of 217 with May 21, it is the wise thing to continue to follow the Hebrew calendar for the placing of the 5 months. He's given us the second date. And when we do so, then we find, okay, it fits very well into this idea of doubling and lands on the Feast of Purim. But thank you for your comments. And let's go to the next person. Welcome to our question and answer time.
Oh, yes, good evening, Chris. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, very well. Please go ahead.
Yes, would you please read Esther chapter 9, three verses. One of them is verse 21, the other one is 28, and the other one is 27.
Esther 9:21, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly, and then 28 and 29.
I'm sorry, 27 and 28.
27. The Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fail that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time every year, and that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed.
My question is that the 2 days are kept in memorial out of the 3 days. Is that pointing a type and figure of heaven, where it's eternal, as a memorial, and that would kind of point to the seventh as being the day where the Lord returns?
Well, the 2 days, the 14th and the 15th, are signaled out because they were the days of rest. The 14th day was the day of rest for all the people in 126 provinces, and the 15th day was the day of rest for those in Shushan because they had been still slaying their enemies on the 14th. And so the rest points to the rest that God's people receive when they receive the kingdom of heaven. And we see this with the conquest of the land of Canaan. First, Israel had to conquer the land. They had to destroy their enemies. And then they rested. And finally, they received their inheritance by lot. And we have the same three elements in the Feast of Purim. The Jews destroyed their enemies. They then rested and stood in their lot. Is the language of Daniel 12:13. And the way God has written about Purim, I don't know. Even though the doubling of the torment falls on the last day, which would be the 15th of Adar, March 9th into the 10th, I think it's very possible that God could allow some nations to reach that point, and maybe not everyone. They could be on other parts of the feast. So we still have that window where the whole world will be on the Feast of Purim when God fulfills it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for those verses. And let's go to the next person. Welcome to our question and answer time.
In John chapter 21, verse 11, and in Genesis 8, 3 to 4, God specifically writes 153 fishes being dragged to shore mm-hmm. and 150 days. You know, God is very specific on his Bible verses and what he puts in the Bible. Where is your 147?
Well,
in the Bible?
You're right that John 21 speaks of 153, and we do have 150 days mentioned in Genesis, the end of Genesis 7, and also in Genesis 8. But the problem is that the Feast of Tabernacles was picked to be the landing point, the end of the 5 months, because it was assumed it would be the end of the world. There were no indicators locking it in like there were for May 21, where God, in three major ways, locked in the date of May 21, the 17th day of the second month. He did not do that with October 21. The only thing we were going on was, well, this was the last day of Tabernacles, and that date actually moved, too. From October 20th, we had thought for a while, to October 21st, because it was discovered an additional travel day in the biblical account. And then it was seen, well, that was 153 days. Now, 153 days is not 150 days. As we look at the account in Genesis, and yet
in the account of Genesis, they have God put in there as Noah's age, 150 divided by 3 is 5 months.
Right, right. I think it's probable that that was the length of time of 5 months from 17th day of the second month to the 17th day of the seventh month. But, you know, we're not going away from the Bible. You said, well, where's my 147? But
mm-hmm.
We're not looking at that initially. We're looking at the date of 717. That's the key. Just like, how did we come to May 21? The underlying date was 217, the 17th day of the second month. And that's what locked that particular date in. And the Bible does give us 717. And so that is in view on October 15th. It's the underlying Hebrew date or the biblical calendar date. Since God use the first date from the Hebrew calendar, why wouldn't he use the second date? And we see, well, once we do make that correction, that 717 was 5 months later in the Hebrew calendar, and it was, then it ties right in with the Feast of Purim and the doubling of the torment. And it just explains a lot of things, a lot of verses. You know, I've been praying for wisdom, as I'm sure many have been. What happened at the 5 months? What happened after October 21? What was the purpose of that? How does that fit into anything? And after praying for wisdom, we see that now there's answers. What has happened is that what was true, what was the character of the 5 months period that we read about in Revelation 9, 5 months of torment, time in which men will seek death and not be able to find it, that is referring to the fact that God shut the door on the 17th day of the second month, May 21, that it is all still in place because it has been extended. It has been doubled. Let me read that verse again. In Revelation 18, verse 6, and it's referring to Babylon. Notice it says in Revelation 18, verse 2, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen." Notice how God doubles that. And that's found a few times in the Bible. Babylon is fallen, is fallen. We don't read Egypt is fallen, or Assyria, but Babylon is doubled when God refers to its fall. Why would he do that? Well, because in verse 6, "Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double." What cup? Well, Revelation 14 also speaks of Babylon's fall in verse 8. "And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." And then in verse 10, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy messengers and in the presence of the Lamb." Here, the cup is a cup of torment. And back in Revelation 18, after it says double, unto her double, in the cup which she has filled, fill to her double, verse 7 continues on speaking about Babylon and says, "How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her." That's the same word we find in Revelation 9, verse 5. 5 months of torment. God is emphasizing, it's actually within his law in Exodus 22. For certain transgressions, God has established a law, there is to be double payment or double restitution. And he's applying it to Babylon. So the judgment, the cup of the wrath of God, would be normally 5 months of torment. However, God is saying, double it. Give to her so much torment. And so the world experiences 5 months, and that works out. We're following the biblical calendar. 217 to Tishri 17, and then it's 147 days. That's just how it is. And then we double 147 days, and it comes to Purim, to Adar 15th, the last day of Purim. Purim, which has already been in view since God opened up the information of all that took place on the 17th day of the second month in the book of Esther. And so it's information where God is indicating this is the landing point, and now we know exactly what's going on today. What was true of the 5 months period is true for 10 months up until the last day of the Feast of Purim.
How does the date October 15th relate to your Feast of Tabernacles?
Well, that's Tishri 17, 717, and that is the date we have in Genesis 8, and it is a day within the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles begins on Tishri 15, and this would be a date that falls within the Feast of Tabernacles. It's not the last day. We went to Tishri 23, October 21, because of the language related to the last day. And it was connected with the end of the world, the very last day of Earth's existence. But that did not happen on the last day of Tabernacles. And so we there was something that was incorrect. And once we make the correction to Tishri 17, then all kinds of things begin to fall into place and fit together, and we have now a timeline in connecting Purim from May 21 through 5 months, and then from 5 months to the last day of Purim. But thank you for your comment. And let's go to the next person. Welcome to eBibles Question and Answer.
Our next question from PalTalk comes from Rez29. Could we compare Revelation chapter 18, verse 6, with Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 18? The question about that is, does Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 18 support the information of God's purpose to double the portion of his wrath in the day of judgment?
Let's read here, try to get a little context. Let's read from verse 15 of Jeremiah 17. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of Jehovah? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me, thou art my hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction. Yes, that is pointing to Judgment Day. If anyone remembers what we've read before in Ezekiel 7, as God emphasizes this, the evil day. Let me see if I find it here. In Ezekiel 7, it says in verse 5, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, in evil, in only evil, behold, is come. An end is come. The end is come. It watcheth for thee. Behold, it is come. So there, the end is called an evil. It is the evil day. And that would be Judgment Day. And so here, God again is mentioning the double destruction that comes upon the unsaved. It's coming upon Babylon, so it's coming upon the kingdom of Satan and all within it, which would be all unsaved people. Remember that the judgment of shutting the door to heaven is a grievous judgment. Just like when God removed the Holy Spirit out of the midst of the congregations, at the beginning of the church age, at the end of the church age, throughout the whole 23 years. Now, individuals continued going to church, and you might even see them laughing and without seemingly a care as they went into their churches, and yet all the while, spiritually, it was a desolate wilderness, and they had no idea that the Holy Spirit was not there, and that Satan had taken his seat as the man of sin. Likewise, the world has continued on since May 21, and and people are going about their lives. The world seemingly could care less about anything spiritual, yet it's an awful thing. It's a sorrowful thing, a grievous thing, and that's why it's 5 months of torment, as that word is identified with sorrow, that God has shut the door of salvation to this world. And so now it's doubled, and it's double destruction. It's a double portion of the punishment for the sins of man. Do we have another Paltalk question?
Yes, we actually have three more. This next one is, admittedly, it's kind of a long one. It's from Jessiah. In Matthew 17, verses 3 to 9, Mark 9, verses 1 to 9, and Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 32, we read of the account where Jesus and his disciples went up into the mountain, Transfiguration. When the apostles had seen Jesus in his full glory, and also Moses and Elijah with God, they were awake. What is the understanding here God is teaching and telling us about the apostles being asleep, but then they were awake when they saw Christ in his full glory? God says here, interestingly, that they were heavy with sleep, and then they were awake. I don't want to try to read into this, but God seems to have given us a picture here of something important. Also, we have three, which represents God, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. The apostles may not have physically known who or what Moses and Elias looked like, so we know that the two on the mount may have had to been God himself, or at least representing God himself, as the name Moses refers to the law, and Elias refers to God, the prophets, and God himself declaring his word. Then we have the names of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, who were heavy with sleep, and then were awake to see his glory. The names Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, and we have the number 3 and the numbers 6 and 8, which also can be referring to 7. And then we have God taking them up high on the mountain. I know it's a long one, but have you had any time checking into this topic?
No. I'm sorry. Thank you for your ideas. We can know that it was Moses and Elias, and how would they know? Well, God just gave them that understanding. We can know because these two individuals, they were handpicked, as Moses was someone who did die. And yet his body was resurrected, the Bible tells us. Elias was someone who was raptured. He was taken up without dying. He was translated. And so that's how they could appear in really glorified bodies. They had already been changed. And so they were actually Moses and Elijah. But as far as the rest of your comments, I think you've done way more study in this area than I have, and thank you for sharing. Let's go to the next question from Paltalk. Please, go ahead.
Jersey Mike 2 asks, since God is no longer saving and Family Radio says God still is, should I remove my Family Radio bumper stickers from my vehicles?
Well, you know, I'm not going to get into this kind of a question. You know, I just look at it this way. Family Radio really has only made one announcement. If you look at Mr. Camping's announcement carefully, he's basically saying, Look, we're not really sure at this point what took place on May 21 or October 21, and therefore, in order to continue sharing the gospel with, this is how we're going to proceed. And yet, when you look at Family Radio's programming, there really isn't much activity in bringing the gospel to the world. I think that they are pretty much in a holding pattern. Like, for instance, as far as I know, they have not printed a track or are offering a track to encourage people to go out and evangelize in order that people become saved. And there is no one actively teaching on there concerning, you know, that kind of a thing. They are referring back to some of Mr. Camping's older studies. So I wouldn't disassociate with Family Radio. At this time, though, I would, if I was sharing, you know, let me just say that for all the years that eBible has been around, we have wholeheartedly endorsed and encouraged people to go to Family Radio to listen to Mr. Camping's teaching, and we jumped in with both feet when it came to sharing the May 21 information. Actually, we began a couple of years prior to May 21 in putting up billboards, and we were, at first we put eBible's information on a couple, then we made a decision we're going to put Family Radio's information because they have the gospel translated in all the languages. They're the ones that can share this around the world, and we began doing that as much as we could. And then Family Radio heard about that, and they contacted us, and we began to eBible, and people involved with eBible began to look for more opportunities with Family Radio's assistance, which enabled us to be able to get many more billboards because we had a lot more funds. And so there was no ego, no desire to bring anyone to eBible at all. We were very content pointing to the Ministry of Family Radio and telling people to go there. And, you know, the more we did that, the more people around the world did end up coming to eBible. God worked it out so that the entire time of the couple of years leading up to May 21, if anyone entered May 21, 2011 in Google or Judgment Day, eBible Fellowship's website was the first one that appeared. And that drove a lot of traffic our way. And so we're a fairly well-known website because of that in the world, or, you know, infamous maybe, but we're, at least people know about us. And so now at this time, since eBible is sharing the information regarding Purim, but Family Radio is holding in a holding pattern, I think it would be wiser for people to share links about eBible, and if you're going to post something somewhere on a Yahoo question and answer, give a eBible link so people can hear quickly about Purim. It has nothing to do with you know, if Family Radio started teaching this, we would point right back to them, but at this point they're not. So I don't think we disassociate, but I think the emphasis should be on pointing people somewhere like eBible Fellowship where they can hear this information. But thank you for that question, and we have come to the end of our time tonight. I'd like to thank everyone for sharing your comments and your questions, and especially for the Bible verses we had an opportunity to take a look at and to consider. Lord willing, tomorrow night and 4 nights this coming week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, every night except Wednesday, we'll be back in this room at 10 p.m. Eastern Time until about 11. But for now, I'm going to say good night, and may the Lord grant us His wisdom.